You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Latino USA. Tonight, Latino USA looks at the long-standing relationship between Hollywood, Latin America, and Latino filmmakers. We find out how Hollywood movies are adapted for Latin American audiences by learning about the dubbing of the most recent Star Wars film, Rogue One. That's coming up tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, Republicans on Capitol Hill unveiled their long-awaited health care plan that would replace and repeal the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. The signature initiative under the Obama administration has been challenged many times by Republicans in Congress and even in the nation's highest court.
Donna Friedsam is with us now to talk about the GOP's health care plan. She's a researcher and health policy programs director at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Donna, welcome to Central Time.
Happy to be with you.
So on first read, what is your sense of how big a departure the new Republican plan called the American Health Care Act is from former President Obama's signature piece of legislation, the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it really depends on your perspective, because this the bill that was released yesterday seems to be getting criticism from the conservative side of the GOP in saying that it's not enough of a departure from the Affordable Care Act. But then from the more from the Democratic side and from the liberal perspective, there's quite a bit of concern about how much of a departure it is from the existing amount of support there is for low-income people. So I think there is no definitive answer because there's a wide variety of perspectives out there.
In general, did Republicans deliver on what they promised in this new piece of proposed legislation?
Well, it certainly isn't a wholesale overhaul in terms of scrapping the Affordable Care Act and throwing everything away and starting from scratch. There are a number of provisions of the Affordable Care Act that remain in the bill that is that was released yesterday, and several things that the Affordable Care Act put into place that this bill contemplates continuing. So if the people were looking for going back to where we were in 2009, prior to the Affordable Care Act ever existing, then no, this bill does not accomplish that. On the other hand, it does include some substantial changes to Medicaid and to subsidies for lower-income people in terms of how they purchase coverage that do depart from the way the Affordable Care Act functions. So it does substantially change what exists today. But I would not call it a dramatic change from the Affordable Care Act. I would call it a different way of approaching coverage, but certainly not a wholesale replacement of what we have.
Well, in public opinion of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare has gone up in recent weeks, and there's also been polls showing that some people don't know that Obamacare is the same thing as the Affordable Care Act. So there's been some confusion on that front as well. But do you think that's part of why perhaps the changes are not as dramatic as maybe especially some Republicans might hope?
That may be. A number of the provisions that remain in this bill reflect what has always been popular with the Affordable Care Act, and that those are things around allowing our younger members, dependents up to age 26, to remain on their parents' policy, or assuring that people, for the most part, can't be excluded for coverage due to pre-existing conditions. But I would say that the things that are in this bill now that are not major departures from Obamacare are more likely to be structured the way they are now because of a difficulty in achieving consensus among the Republican caucus about what repeal and replacement bills should look like. So they're trying to bring about some agreement across a broad range of perspectives, even within the Republican leadership and across Republican governors, who all have different perspectives and different investments in how this bill needs to look. So I don't think it's only a result of the change among the kind of public polling that has resulted in the bill that we're seeing today.
Well, you mentioned a couple of popular provisions from the Affordable Care Act that seem to be staying. There are things that change, though, and one of these is the removal of the individual mandate. Tell us about the status of that particular aspect.
Right. So the individual mandate was probably the least popular or most unpopular part of the Obamacare. And I will, by the way, use the words Affordable Care Act and Obamacare interchangeably with no value judgment attached to either one of those terms. But and ACA as well. So Obamacare did have this individual mandate requiring people to, for the most part, get health insurance coverage if they had access to some kind of affordable coverage. There were, by the way, a number of exceptions to that, and people could apply for exemptions to that mandate. But nonetheless, that mandate existed. Why did that mandate exist? Because Obamacare told insurance companies that they needed to accept all people, regardless of whether people had pre-existing conditions or what their health status was when they entered into coverage. So in order for health insurance companies to be able to take people that had compromised health status or were bringing to them significant health problems, we needed somehow to assure in this country that the health, the overall pool of insured people included some healthy people. That's how insurance works, by sharing risk between healthier people and people who need some kind of care. And so otherwise, I make the analogy that homeowners all have to have insurance on their homes. Even when their homes are standing and are structurally sound, we all need to insure our homes in the event that something happens. If we did not need to insure our homes, then none of us would insure our homes until the day that our homes were on fire, and then we would stand out on the street watching our homes burn, and we would call the insurance company at that moment and try to purchase insurance. Well, that may be good for us as consumers, but there'd be no insurance companies in the world that would be in that line of business, because they would have no ability to offer that product. Same with health insurance. The mandate existed in order to make sure that there were plenty of people paying in premiums to allow the companies to pay out premiums for people in need. So people didn't like, though, being told that they had to buy insurance. So the Republican plan says we're not going to mandate people to buy insurance, and it puts in a different mechanism that is that calls for continuous coverage, and I'm happy to explain that if you like.
Right, so is that the mechanism in the new plan that would take the place of that individual mandate, bringing down premiums, for instance? How would that work?
It essentially says that people need to maintain continuous coverage in their health insurance, and if they don't, they could be subject to a penalty when they try to purchase insurance. So if people are out of the health insurance market for a certain number of days, then, and I believe the number is 63 days, then, so basically 2 months, then when they go back to purchase insurance, they no longer get the benefit of what we call community rating, but instead they could be subject to some penalties up to 30% of the cost of insurance. So they no longer get the benefit of not being penalized for pre-existing conditions and the like, and instead they would have to pay higher premiums when they come back in. So, however, even with that provision, the penalty of 30% would only be in place for 12 months, and then they could go back to the regular rate that everybody else enjoys. Nonetheless, that provision around the continuous coverage is intended to try to provide people an incentive to maintain their coverage and not stay out, not remain uninsured, and only buy insurance when they get sick.
We're talking with Donna Friedsam right now from the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute, looking at the American Health Care Act, which is the GOP's plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. And Donna, I want to ask you about the tax credits. That's another pretty significant departure from the Affordable Care Act. How would tax credits be used to help pay for this insurance under the new Republican plan?
Right. Now, this is probably one of the most significant departures from the existing Affordable Care Act, this and the way Medicaid is structured. So people are going to really want to pay close attention to this. Under the existing Affordable Care Act, there are premium tax credits that help subsidize the cost of health insurance. So, and those tax credits are based on income. And they're available to people up to four times the federal poverty level. So for an individual, and I'm talking about today under the Affordable Care Act or under Obamacare, people who, an individual who up to an income of about $48,000, $49,000 a year can get a tax credit. And it's a sliding fee scale. So people at very, very low incomes would get more of a tax credit than people that were up that were closer to that $48,000 cutoff. And similarly, a family of four, the four times the federal poverty level is about $98,000 a year. So if a family of four makes $40,000 a year, they're going to get a larger tax credit for purchasing insurance than a family that makes $90,000 a year. And ultimately, a family that makes more than that $98,000 cutoff won't get any subsidy at all. That's how the ACA works today. The GOP plan that was released yesterday changes that model quite significantly. It no longer bases the tax subsidies on income at all, and instead bases it on age. So people who are older would get a larger subsidy than people that are younger. And with the idea that older people have larger insurance premiums than younger people, so the intent there is to help older people buy insurance, but nonetheless, it doesn't also link it to whether people are lower income versus higher income. However, there is a cap such that individuals with incomes above $75,000 a year would not receive that tax subsidy, and households with incomes above $150,000 a year would not receive that subsidy. So this is getting a little complex, but there's a couple of things to notice. Everybody gets exactly the same subsidy. It doesn't matter whether if you're a 25-year-old individual, you get the same subsidy whether your income is $20,000 or your income is $70,000. It doesn't change at all. It's not based on income. It's only based on age. And similarly, if you are a 50-year-old, you will get the exact same subsidy if you make $20,000 a year and you make $70,000 a year. It makes no difference. So it's really just based on age. As well, the subsidies in the GOP plan go to a lot higher income than did the ACA. So I mentioned earlier that Obamacare provides subsidies up to people at 400% of the federal poverty level. So that for an individual, that's $49,000 a year, and for a household, that's about $99,000 a year. The GOP plan provides those subsidies, the flat subsidies, not based on income, but it cuts them off to after people make $75,000 for an individual and $150,000 for a family.
Donna Friedsam is with us right now. She's the Health Policy Programs Director and Researcher at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. And she's joining us now to talk about the American Health Care Act, which is the GOP's plan to replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's your opinion on the current Affordable Care Act? Do you support the plan, or do you think that the health care reform law needs to be changed? What was your experience under the ACA? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation in just a little bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation about the American Health Care Act. That's the Republican plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. And we're going through the plan right now with Donna Friedsam. She's the Health Policy Programs Director and Researcher at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute.
And we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the Affordable Care Act as it's currently in place? Do you support Republican-led efforts to replace it? And what would you like to see in a national health care plan? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers. Now we've got Phil on the line in Bundy. Phil, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to ask?
Okay, I'm a little curious as to how this new system will work. How will it work with the employers that are now getting the subsidies? Like, my employer sponsors my health care, or a portion thereof. And then the other thing I'm wondering is, like, right now, my wife and myself have different employers, and we both have to have separate insurance with separate deductibles and all that. Is there anything going to fix something like that?
Okay, Phil, thank you. A couple good questions there. And Donna, what do you say to Phil's two questions?
I didn't entirely hear his first question, but I can say this, that
subsidies to employers to help pay for employee insurance, will that change?
The GOP plan eliminates the subsidies for employers. I assume then that he's with a small employer, and the GOP, the Affordable Care Act had some subsidies for small employers to purchase insurance for their employees, and the GOP plan eliminates those subsidies. So those will no longer be available. And with regard to his second question, him and his wife having separate plans and separate deductibles, there's nothing in the GOP plan that addresses that matter.
There are getting back at subsidies and businesses. There are, Donna, some taxes, it sounds like, that are changing.
So the GOP plan eliminates most of the taxes that are, essentially all of the taxes that are currently associated with the Affordable Care Act are phased out.
And I want to ask you, Donna, you mentioned as we went into the break there about the difference between the Affordable Care Act and the Republican plan. The Affordable Care Act had tax credits based on income. The Republican plan has them based on age. How do you think that will affect, I know we don't know all the numbers yet, but how do you project that might affect who gets coverage?
So at this, let me say, we don't have definitive numbers, primarily because the way this normally works is that when a bill is introduced, a bill such as this is introduced, it goes through a process called scoring by the Congressional Budget Office. But the GOP has decided to fast track this bill, so it's not going through hearings and committees, and instead it's going to directly to vote. I believe they're going to try to put it to vote tomorrow. It's not going to undergo hearings, and they're not waiting for the Congressional Budget Office to score it. So we don't have any figures around what the ultimate budgetary impact of this bill will be on the federal budget, and nor do we have any figures about what the Congressional Budget Office assesses around the impact on the number of people that will be insured or who might lose insurance under this bill. Now, the Congressional Budget Office is the nonpartisan scoring entity for Congress, and that is supposed to be used for the Congress when it makes its decisions. We won't have those numbers. So all I can go on at this point in this early period of just having seen the bill within the last 24 hours is what various writers and different think tanks are doing in terms of their projections. And what I can say to you is that all across the board, from both the left and the right, it appears that this will have the effect of a couple of effects. One is very likely that people will lose access to their insurance in some number, but we don't know how many. So we know that the subsidies will not be as available for lower income people, and it will provide more money for higher income people, subsidizing their purchase, but lower income people will not have as much available to them to purchase the coverage. So it does transfer funding from lower income people to higher income people. At the same time, it does transfer some support from to provide more support for older people, but it also has another effect of transferring support to younger people in trying to decrease the premiums for them. So,
and I want to jump in so we can get another caller here quickly. Kathy is with us next in Madison. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
What's your question?
My question is a concern because if they do, I've been on the Affordable Care Act for 3 years. We are self-employed, husband and wife. We both have different, very, very small businesses, and we have 4 children, 2 in college and 2 and under the age of 26 and 2 at home. Our health care premium before the Affordable Care Act was twice our mortgage, our mortgage for 6 very, very healthy people with no pre-existing conditions. If they take the subsidy that was on the front end based on income and bury it on the tax code onto the back end, in other words, if they take it and put it on the back end, it will just get lost in our taxes. I am positive of that. So it's almost a trick to say, well, you just file your taxes and then you're going to get a credit. That's like the college credit, like any other credit. You have to go through 8,000 passes and line items before you actually see that help with something that the government is going to help you with.
Kathy, thank you for that comment. And Donna, we've only got about 30 seconds here. What do you think?
There is some language about having the tax credit be advanceable. The question is whether people will be able to get the tax credit at the front end when they purchase their insurance. But what this caller is going to want to look at is whether she'll be able to get the same level of subsidy under this new plan that she's been getting under the Affordable Care Act, and that will be a significant question.
Well, to be continued, it still has to go through the House and, of course, the Senate, and we'll be watching that. Donna, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Donna Friedsam joined us there to talk about the American Health Care Act, the GOP's replacement of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. Donna's a researcher and the Health Policy Programs Director at the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is Central Time.